Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips. On Sunday, we celebrate Mother's Day 2020, a year that has undoubtedly added stress and worry to the already overworked, often underappreciated moms in our circles. Moms, we see you. As for me, I've had the privilege of knowing more than one mother, and I've lived long enough to have lost more than one of my mothers. Mother's Day is bittersweet for me. It often begins with a long trip. The Belt Parkway to the Verrazano Bridge, then on to the Outer Bridge Crossing. Along the way, a phone call or text message to my stepmother. You get the picture. Yes, I place flowers 100 yards apart at the headstones of two of my mothers. Mother's Day is bittersweet for me. It's the day I pause to say thanks to all of my mothers. It's the day that reminds me that when I fall from grace, and I do, I have three voices, two in heaven and one still here, singing my favorite Jerome Kern classic. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Happy Mother's Day.
But you'll be a man, my son. Don't you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? They picked themselves up, dust themselves off, and started all over again.
It's day 44 of New York on pause. Physical distancing has worked. Let's keep it up. As of May 4th, Elmont has 1,135 documented COVID-19 cases. A few miles east, Hempstead has 1,917 cases. Freeport reports 1,386 cases. Valley Stream and Uniondale now report more than 1,000 cases each. Nassau County's COVID-19 website now makes the stark reality of black and brown communities less obvious. They have replaced the scaled bar chart. The politics of virus transmission? Is this the pivot to the status quo? Shading the county's racial disparity in plain sight? Let's not talk about it anymore? No. Not here on ETOP. We are not waiting for Black History Month, no. County Executive Curran, change the chart back to the bar graph. We only fix that which we can plainly see.
You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips.
Joining us today on our podcast is legislator Carrie Salage. Welcome to the podcast, legislator.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with everyone here today. And I want to thank you, Aubrey, for always creating important bridges of communication in our community and the opportunity to give back. And here we find ourselves in one of the most difficult crises that we have to face as a country and as a people.
Absolutely.
But I want to thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome. And as always, Legislator Salage, we are always trying to keep this community connected, and you're an important part of that. So welcome to the podcast again. I want to start our conversation with something less official. I'd like to start our podcast just asking you, how are you doing? How is the family doing? What does it feel like to have this major shift in our psyche, as just as a family person?
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I want to first, wish everyone well and wish that God protects you. And I wish all the positive energy to anyone who's been afflicted with COVID-19, coronavirus, and I'm praying for them. And, this is an opportunity to stand up and to protect your family. I think right now, as a male, your obligation is to protect your family. And We already have heightened senses to do that, especially if you're a man that has a daughter. but now, especially with the current situation at hand, those senses, almost like in the primal sense that we have and have gained from our evolution, it's just been heightened. And so, like, very protected my family to walk or jog, you know, the one jog that we're allotted a day. And these quarantines that, you know, times, if you're lucky to experience a jog, you know, you're out there walking and you're protective, more protective of your family. And so this is a time, you know, for us to really stand up for our families, and you get to learn more of your family. You know, with this time, you know, I've taken advantage of, you know, getting to really talk to my family members, and not as a fellow politician, but just as, you know, as a person, and just get to really learn them as a person. And that's the one good thing that's come out of this.
You know, I have to say that, and probably we're going to say the same thing, that this pandemic has certainly been for many a blessing, in the sense that we are actually reconnecting with the people that matter most. So with that said, how do you think something like this particular episode in our lives, how do you think this is going to inform your legislative, not agenda, but your legislative approach in the future?
Well, I think that this is an experience that clearly shows that our lives are interdependent. You know, what I do affects you, what you do affects me. We can affect each other. And it clearly shows that this situation, but believe it or not, in normal times and in the new normal that will come, that it will always also be the case. We all affect each other's lives. You know, the reason why we still pay into our school tax-based system is that, even if you don't have children in the school system, is that it benefits you to have well-educated children in your community, as we do in the Elmont community, which we're very blessed.
Precisely.
As a result, you see a lot of graffiti, littering, which we, you know, we can work on littering more. but the county's doing is, you know, you call my office at 516-571-6203, and if there is a county property that has litter, let us know. So this experience, I think, will transform our government, hopefully, and expose a lot of the weaknesses we have as a society. In that, for example, in our own Elmont community, believe it or not, there are children that need to depend on our school system in order to get fed.
Correct.
I know that.
You Correct.
Know? And in normal times, I'm so thankful, thank God, that we created food pantries. There's a food pantry that Magali Polo, who's a friend of ours, runs at the Gateway Church, Central Avenue in Valley Stream.
Yes.
And you can call my office. We have food there. We created another pantry in Inwood, but that was more community driven, and we have community leaders there. We support them, and they support us. And so we will consider the plight more of essential workers, and that is, you know, blue collar workers, workers that are the engine of our economy. For example, you know, several years ago, people criticized me when I fought to get the minimum wage increase first with restaurant workers. People criticized me, say, hey, why would you start with the restaurant workers? Because they are essential workers, you know. And now we all see that they're essential workers, risking their lives just to give us a burger or a chicken sandwich. And so, yeah, hopefully we become a more of a considerate society that will understand the issues of working class people, because it is a working class that unfortunately has been overexposed to this virus.
Correct.
And that's why I was one of the first elected officials to ask for that data. And now everyone's talking about, I'm happy for it, but we need to use this data in real time, just like on election day. I could tell you, hey, you know what, ED22, you know, we need to get more votes there. Let's send our people over there. The same way they have the power. Our government has the power, believe it or not, and we need to get there, create a new mechanism to trace the virus and to track it down. And to, but I was the first to ask for data. You know, there are people who are coming in and getting tested.
As you mentioned the notion of data, I believe that the data you're speaking of is the data that disaggregates the COVID infections among various demographics. And
that is correct. Yes.
Yeah. Our last podcast, we spoke about why did Elmont residents have to drive 24 miles to Jones Beach in order to get tested when this all began? When in fact, we have a facility right here in Elmont that could have been used as a testing facility. So with that said, I want you to talk a little bit about, because I think it was on the 15th. A letter was drafted by several legislators, including yourself, state and county legislators, requesting that Belmont Park be used as a venue for COVID-19 testing. So the question I have for you is, just tell us a little bit about why that was sent.
Look, right now, I can really say that for a lot of elected officials, we are working in overdrive. We are on the phone constantly advocating for our community, trying to get more resources, and people are forgetting political boundaries, and we're working across political lines. I have to say that honestly. Like, there's a lot of important pieces of legislation that we recently passed I want to talk about, but mainly right now is a time where things have to get done, and we have to be the cheerleaders for our communities to get the resources for our communities and as much as possible. And so from at least 2 weeks ago, I've been asking for the Belmont racetrack site, which is a state property, to be very similar to the Jones Beach property that has a large parking lot, to be used for a testing site. But before we could even do that, let's just work with what we got. There is a federally qualified health community center on Hempstead Turnpike in Elmont.
That is correct.
I'll provide you the address that I'm currently advocating to our county executive to become a testing site for COVID-19. Currently, they're going to refer you to the main sites in Hempstead and Freeport, but it's unfortunate that we have to go over there when we have the third highest number of COVID-19 coronavirus infections in Nassau County. Last night I checked, it was in the late 900 numbers for our Elmont community, and that is a concern. And I have been, you know, asking the county police and the emergency management to come down on various businesses in our community that are not practicing social distancing.
Absolutely.
And we have to thank our first responders and our nurses and our essential workers. But look, we have to also be realistic here and call out individuals who are not, you know, abiding by social distancing, and they're making things more difficult, and they're going to continue to allow infections to increase. And this will mean then a longer continuation of social distancing, and it's a balance. So we have to keep working together. And so what I'm asking is that we please continue to practice social distancing. It works. I can give you some current numbers right now. These are numbers. Every day as an elected official, I have a conference call with the Commissioner of Health, Mr. Larry Eisenstein, the doctor Larry Eisenstein, the Commissioner of Health of Nassau County, and we get the numbers, you know, the stats of criminal offenses. I can tell you that crime is low.
One would hope.
In addition, yes, and so there's a 20% drop in total in COVID-19 patients in hospitals in Nassau County in the last 7 days. 20% drop, a 12% drop in COVID-19 ICU patients, a 17% drop in COVID-19 patients or ventilators. So Nassau County has also seen the percentage of positive tests drop from 50% 3 weeks ago to 27%. So 27% of people are testing positive, 50% was 3 weeks ago.
Is that as a result of the number of tests that are being conducted now, or is that the result of the expansion of the people being tested, i.e., you know, if we're testing people that are going into hospitals, then we'll have this very high percentage, possibly, because they're all sick. And now if we're testing the broader population, then I would expect the percentages to be dropped. So could you expand on that, or would that be something that you'd have to double check?
I mean, look, I am an attorney and a Nassau County legislator. I am not a health official nor a doctor. I was accepted at Johns Hopkins, but I did not go. So I did the next best thing where I became an elected official. So what I'm saying is that, you know, taking consideration to what Dr. Fauci, you know, at the national level said, that there's always like been a third percent, at least a third you could presume, that did not report. We could say that, yes, you know, there's probably more people. And again, just because a person dies in Nassau County of COVID-19 doesn't mean that they were from Nassau County. The way the commissioner and the way they are classifying information is that it goes by where the person dies. It doesn't go by where they're from. So you could have someone from Queens coming here, and the border's right there, and we share, you know, grocery stores and churches, and so we also share hospitals, and so take that into account as well.
But that, you know, taking that into account, it really speaks to this notion that, as the governor has been speaking to, which is that this regional approach to addressing the issue, because it's very easy for someone from Queens to come over to Nassau County and vice versa, and then the infection can spread in that fashion. So understood. We understand that this has to be a regional matter. Sure.
Correct. But just to let you know that it's still the governor's current press conference stated a number. You know, every night we cringe when you hear the number of people dying, and lately today's account was in the 400 range. So it's still a significant number. Don't get me wrong. And I pray for every single person who's passed away and for their families, and I offer them my family's condolences, please. But this is a real threat that we have to take more seriously. And I want to talk to you specifically just briefly about something I've noticed in our community, in our hardworking Caribbean community. I have seen two Caribbean men who are retired. They're in their 60s. They do not need to work. They had government jobs. They have pensions. They could be fine. But they proactively chose not to stay home and to go to work. And at work, that's where they caught that COVID-19.
I see.
And thank God, you know, maybe to due to guinea hen or some other good, you know, roots and herbs that we drink and we nurture our bodies in, and we didn't need this crisis to understand that. And if you didn't, then it's time to wake up now about our own personal health here. And we'll talk about that as well. But bottom line is that I'm using this example of two men in our community who stayed home and protect themselves, but they chose not to. And unfortunately, we have to take it more seriously. It is a threat. It could bring it home, and it may not affect us, but it may affect our loved ones. And so we have to be very careful here. This is, you know, County Legislator Carrie Solage. My office number is 516-571-6203. There's a lot of information I want to share with you.
You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips.
You have questions about the 2020 census, and we have answers. Let's go to caller number one.
Well, what is it?
Good question. It's a simple questionnaire that counts everyone living at your address on April 1st. Next caller?
So why should I take it?
Because it guides how billions in funding gets used each year for things like clinics, fire stations, public transit, and so much more. Caller three, go ahead.
What's it have to do with representation?
Well, your state's population determines the number of seats it has in the U.S. House of Representatives for the next 10 years. Next?
How do you take it?
Just look for an invitation in the mail starting March 2020, then complete it online, by phone, or by mail. Let's go to our final caller.
Is my information safe?
Yes, it can't be shared with anyone. It's the law. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov.
At this point, why don't you, if you have a list of things that you think is very important for the community to hear about in terms of resources, numbers to call, etc., why don't you go ahead? I'm going to be quiet at this point and let you just tell us about these things that you want to share with us. Go right ahead.
The Long Island Federally Qualified Health Community Centers has increased their testing, and I want you to please call for an appointment at 516-396-7500. This is an interesting fact that the health commissioner shared with me yesterday. Oh, please make of it what you want. A third of the people who test, they call them, you know, and their voicemails are full and they can't get in contact with them. And for a third of the people who go through the trouble and get a test.
So this so is that, with that, regard to results?
Yes.
So after they've been tested, they don't respond to calls about their results.
Correct.
Okay.
And so I think it goes to, and this is speaking as a Haitian man, a Caribbean man who grew up in the 80s here in New York and, you know, racist Long Island County at that time. You know, we were accused of having a stigma of having HIV as a Haitian person. Mm. And we overcame that through by showing who we are as people and through marches and just us being hardworking people. I think there's a stigma attached to this. Like, people call me for all sorts of things as a lawyer and as a legislator. They call me for like, oh, I'm losing my home. Oh, you know, please help me. My son got in trouble. You know, they call me. They're not calling me as much about this. And they're calling me and I call them just to check on them. And then they tell me, yes, I had it. I didn't want to tell you. I think there's a stigma attached to this virus.
Do you think pause for a second. Do you think that stigma has anything to do with some of the numbers that have come out? Some of the numbers that we sort of touched on earlier. The fact that African Americans, black and brown people, tend to have higher mortality rates, and how that may play in the minds of the greater population. Do you think that there might be some hesitation based on that? Do you think so?
Yes, that in part, but not just more so of like the racial nature, just in the very nature of the psychological warfare that this virus is creating. The way society has degraded to a childlike fashion, it is as if we treat this virus like the cooties and we're in second grade. And so if you have it, even though, you know, you later on you get your cootie shot, you don't want to talk about it because people might not want to get close to you because they've heard that, oh, it might come back and it's still detected in you. So you know, there is a stigma attached to this, and we have to overcome this. That's how we overcame the stigma of HIV, not just in the, you know, Haitian community, but also in the Caribbean community and the Black community. We, you know, we overcame that stigma, and we have to overcome this stigma because it leads to then now lack of information, because we need the correct information to fight this. This is, look, every day you're just bombarded with news about this, a press conference from that person, from this person, that person, and they're conflicting information. And so it's a psychological, it's creating like us, where it's affecting people's mental health. People are calling me and I'm hearing it, you know, and I want you to understand that there are resources regarding that too. I want you to know that it's a state line, you know, of free information that you can get. There are organizations now that are donating, you know, free sessions with, you know, counselors or certified that can give you proper advice. That's a good thing that our society is stepping up in that way. So I want to,
exactly,
you know, convey that number as well. Let me convey that number. You may call my office at 516-571-6203 for food assistance. Okay, Long Island Cares, 631-582-3663, extension 109. Long Island Cares for food assistance. People will call me about that as well. Again, we have food distributions every Saturday at the Presbyterian Church on Central Avenue in Valley Stream, 11 o'clock and 10 o'clock. But again, Long Island Cares at 631-582-3663, extension 109. Nassau County, we fought for this in the legislature the other day, and we got it passed. We had to first ask the governor, then the governor saw that he has to ask the county executive. Again, society is not set up for dealing with such catastrophes, and so we as a legislature, as a government, have to abide by this, the rules that at times may take time to pass certain laws. But we got the important laws passed yesterday. We extended the time you need to pay your property taxes, your final first, you know, the final half of your school taxes.
And how long was that extended for?
June 1st without penalties. And you may call for more information. They can call my office, 516-571-6203. But again, Nassau County has extended the due date to pay the second half of the 2019-2020 school taxes without penalty up until June 1st. If you want to learn how to grieve your property taxes, we have a video online. We could send you the link. Call me again at 516-571-6203. The county, I've been petitioning the county, and finally the county got it done. We have to make all this information available in different languages. And so we could, you know, if you could text in Creole, I can give you a number that you could text in Hindi, in Spanish, of course, Urdu. You could text, you know, a number, and then we can give you updates in that language.
Wonderful. I would love to be able to post with this podcast the list that you're referring to. So would you mind sending us an email with that list? And we will make sure that as part of this podcast, that list is associated with it.
Okay, great. So yes, absolutely. Let me just give you a couple other important things. People and businesses, because, you know, in our community, we are very industrial, entrepreneurial. We have our businesses. We have, some of us have 2 or 3 businesses. And, you know, our community is very, you know, our Caribbean community and our African community, we're very industrial in that way. And so we have a lot of businesses that have been affected by this, and I can relate. I have a business as well. You can call up the Office of Emergency Management regarding assistance for businesses. That number is 516-572-2240.
This is help separate from the federal help that's being spoken about, at least?
Correct. We're waiting, again, just to give you an update as to what's going on the national level. I just represent the county level, but if you want to know what's happening at the national level, we're currently waiting on Congress to refund the Small Business Administration and other business programs so that the business SBA will have funding for the second round of funding. It's very important that you could reach out to several people in the county regarding that, because that's very important too.
Sure.
I need you to reach out to. I was able to search and help appoint Mr. Lionel Chitty. As you may know, the Office of Minority Affairs, which is an office created in the constitution of our county government, has a focus of helping our minority communities. I am the ranking member of the legislature that oversees that office. And Laura Kern, our county executive, has done a lot to get that office up and running again. It's been pretty much dormant, not operational, not fully supported, funded for the past 20 years, across the board.
Correct.
And it's been unfortunate. And so I've been able to get it up and running with the help of our county executive.
and our new director of that office, that office has had a director for like over 20 years. I was able to get a permanent director, got it done, you know, now halfway, all the way, and supported, funded. I need, you need to reach out to Lionel Chitty. Lionel Chitty, he used to be the head of the
Lionel Chitty.
He used to be the head of the Chamber of Commerce at Hicksville. And now he's the executive director of the Office of Minority Affairs. He will connect you to all the different funding opportunities. You know, a lot, unfortunately, you know, also the United States Chamber of Commerce had a fund that just ran out of money. So it's very important to stay in tune so that when the SBA grants the next round of loans, you know where to go quickly. So you need to reach out to Lionel Chitty. Let me give you his email. L is in Larry, C is in Charles, H is in Harry, I is in intelligent, T is in Tom, Y is in Yo-Yo, at nassaucountyny.gov. Okay, that is his first initial L for Larry, and his last name Chitty, Chitty, at nassaucountyny.gov. That's very important, you know, like we, our community on time, maybe just by not having access to information or not just having access, we've missed out on opportunities. This is the time, okay? We have to use this opportunity to reinvent ourselves and to get ahead of the curve. Things were not working out for you in the old economy. Get your stuff together because now you're in a new economy and things are going to be different, very different. And we could talk about this on a practical level, philosophical level, economic level. We could talk about that. But let's just get the quick information we need to help people. The Office of Emergency Management.
On a practical level.
But let me just say that. Go ahead. We don't have 311 in Nassau County. The New York City, under de Blasio, he has it. But we have the Office of Emergency Management. And that is like the central office where everything's being centralized to through all concerns, food, you know, safety. That number is 516-572-2240.
Could you repeat that?
516-572-2240.
And that's
you may recall, Elmont, yes.
And that's the Office of Emergency Management.
Correct. Elmont is an unincorporated hamlet, not a village. We rely upon the county. We don't have a centralized system of government. That's an additional tax. Please call Office of Emergency Management under the office, and that's 516-572-2240.
Wonderful.
And then again, just for the small business out there, you could also reach out to the Small Business Impact at nassaucountyny.gov. Small Business Impact at nassaucountyny.gov.
Wonderful.
You have questions about the 2020 census, and we have answers. Let's go to caller number one.
Well, what is it?
Good question. It's a simple questionnaire that counts everyone living at your address on April 1st. Next caller?
So why should I take it?
Because it guides how billions in funding gets used each year for things like clinics, fire stations, public transit, and so much more. Caller 3, go ahead.
What's it have to do with representation?
Well, your state's population determines the number of seats it has in the U.S. House of Representatives for the next 10 years. Next?
How do you take it?
Just look for an invitation in the mail starting March 2020, then complete it online, by phone, or by mail. Let's go to our final caller.
Is my information safe?
Yes, it can't be shared with anyone. It's the law. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov.
You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips.
I'm not here to give a report card on other elected officials. Laura Kern is doing the best she could do. Everything, every concern. We have a phone conference. Me, her, Legislator Abrahams, Legislator Bino, or any legislator that has of a minority area, Legislator Deborah Moulet, Tracy Edwards, Frederick Burlington, you know, Bishop Harvey, all the leaders of our communities. And we talk to each other about what's going on. We just got to talk to each other. And when we hear there's a problem, we get on it quickly.
Okay, so that's quite a bit of information there, Legislator Szilagyi. I want to thank you for providing us with that information. On this podcast, we ask questions and we hopefully get thoughtful answers. And today we've gotten some practical answers from you, numbers to call, emails to reach out to. On a practical level, on a small business level, you suggest that we get with the Nassau County Emergency Management System. That's a good place to start. You also suggested something about the
Office of Minority Affairs.
The Office of Minority Affairs.
Run by Lionel Chitty.
Correct.
I provided his email address. He's been very helpful. You know, businesses that reach out to me, I refer them to him, and vice versa, and other offices of government that are relevant to the nature of the issue. And we just try to get, you know, you call me and you get a response and we get things done. And that's what allowed me to be reelected. And under a crisis or not, this reminds me of Superstorm Sandy. I was out there getting people's electricity turned on. I was out there getting gasoline for people. I was out there to get people getting generated. But anyway, you know, I'm here to help people. And God has blessed me with that. You know, people are asking for help now. And I'm really concerned for people as a whole, and especially the weak points in our social fabric. So please reach out. No judgment. Confidential. Reach out to my office. I'm here to help. If you live in Elmont, Valley Stream, Inwood, South Floor Park, if you don't live in those areas, I'll refer you to your legislator. I'll make sure that they, you know, hear your issue. But I really thank you for this program. Thank you for giving people hope. I want to remind people that a lot of people listening, you know, we are descendants of those who survived the greatest Holocaust of people ever to occur, and that's the enslavement of
absolutely.
African people. And you are the descendants of those individuals. And so your blood, your engineering, your DNA, you survived one of the worst, I'm not going to say social experiments, because it wasn't an experiment at all. I mean, but it was a social destruction of a people. You survived that. So if you could survive that, you could survive this, okay?
The fact is that we are descendants of the strongest. Many lost their lives along the way. And so we are the descendants of those that survived. Absolutely.
That they mentally, spiritually, physically, they had to survive a situation that you and I pretty much cannot even fathom. We have studied it greatly. I know you're a man of, you have a great history of great books you've read and you explain. We could talk about Foucault. We could talk about Dubois. We could talk about, Johnson. We could talk
about a lot
of great
people, absolutely.
Readers. And so, but right now we just got to keep things real simple. I laugh all the time. I could talk to you about some real deep things that I experienced as a Black elected official in Nassau County.
We will do another podcast on that at a moment when we actually can sit together and maybe smile and sip some tea. But for now, I think what I'd like to close this podcast with is to simply know that we're going to have with this podcast a list of resources that you've spoken about. And I'm sure that you'll send that to me via email. And I will make sure that that is part of this podcast. Because in essence, this podcast began, and the podcast is, you know, our mission is to continue to keep us connected, even in a moment like this when we are physically disconnected. This podcast is intended to bring us together. So I want to thank you, Legislator Solage, for coming on the podcast. I look forward to you providing us with more information. And I'd like to say this, not as a plug, but certainly as your demonstrated commitment to the Elmont and actually to the 3rd Legislative District. You have demonstrated your commitment to this district. And for that, on behalf of the members of the Elmont community and certainly on behalf of this podcast, we thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And again, no politics. I'm just sending you, if you sign up to be on my email listserv of my office, you're just getting the straight information, no political spin. I leave that to you to figure out what's going on, back your intelligence. And I'm very thankful for your support. God willing, I will continue to help people in need. I believe in secret service and secret. I see other elected officials out there taking pictures, helping people. That's great. But I'm out here just helping people. And that's what matters. There's no time to take a picture. There's so much help that's needed. And so I pray for elected officials, anybody out there trying to be a hero, trying to help other people. God bless you. God bless you for obeying social distancing and doing your part and doing what you can to help other people in need.
Thank you, Legislator Solage, for spending some time with us here on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye. The Elmont Online Podcast is brought to you by www.elmont.org, where residents go for cutting-edge commentary, real-time news feeds, and more. Elmont.org, building a stronger community since 1999. Thank you for listening. Between now and the next time we meet, be safe. I'm Aubrey Phillips.